This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 6th of September, 2023, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. A good morning. It is Wednesday. That means it's a Guardian Radio AM on the clock, man down, mashup Wednesday, where we combine the two shows to discuss what's in the news. I got a little bit of a different show today, Mr. Nuri. It's education time. School is open. And I know you, like the House of Assembly, you on vacation.
I'm on vacation.
I got work for you today, sir. We have in a pop quiz. I've got a bunch of sand dollar on the clock trivia giveaway questions today. I want to get through as many of them as possible, because we're talking education. Before I get to the sand dollar question, the giveaway question where you could win $30 in sand dollars, I got a couple of questions I want to throw at you, Mr. Nuri, and at the audience as a part of today's pop quiz. Who is at fault for the poor exam results? Who is at fault? I got a couple of options: Ministry of Education, schools and administrators, teachers, parents, students. Is it social promotion? Is it the whole country? And then an even more pressing question that's popped up over social media over the last few days: how much education do you need to be successful? And let me say it properly, Mr. Nuri. How many educations do you need to be successful? Is that correct, sir?
Yeah, man, that's correct.
No, that's not correct.
You can't say correct?
How many educations. You done failed the first.
Well, I only need a D to survive in English, right?
We ain't get to that portion of the discussion yet, sir.
Yeah,
that portion of the discussion is how.
How many?
Educations.
How many educations you need?
Do you need?
Types of education. It's like sheeps. Plural. You had to ask the sheeps. One sheep, two sheeps.
Anyway, as we get the show started, I have to pull myself back together. As you know, I graduated from QC, so whenever I hear the word sheeps, I have a visceral response. It was social. It was trained into me, Nuri. Mm-hmm. It was socialized into me. I want to say it was pinched into me. And so I have a reflexive response when I hear conjugations. Is that the correct? Like sheeps.
Yeah, sheeps.
You conjugate a verb.
Yeah, conjugate verb.
Yeah.
And pluralization. You pluralize.
Pluralization's like sheep.
I know pluralization is a word, but you pluralize a noun. And one sheep and two sheeps. One goat, two goats. One ox, two oxes.
No, sir.
No?
Let me check my phone to see if the N is near the S.
Oh, I'll never see a letter, right? Just letter. We can't row between a letter. It's just a letter, N and S. They're close.
Oh, divisive and decisive, sir.
Yeah, why separate us and cause a row over a letter?
Because we must be decisive.
Yeah.
Sometimes the need to be decisive leads us to division.
Hmm.
Anyway, I've got a bunch of questions to throw at you. Before we get there, a quick reminder. The Hannah Hasty Times Family Association General Meeting will be hosted this Thursday, the 7th of September, at St. John's College Auditorium at 6:30. 6:30 p.m. Again, the Hannah Hastie Times Family Association General Meeting will be hosted at St. John's College Auditorium on Thursday the 7th. That's Thursday of this week at 6:30 p.m. Now, let me give you the numbers to call for the first trivia question for the day. Mr. Newer, I think you're going to like these questions. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720 for people in the Bahamas, but not in New Providence. It's toll-free. The text line, as always, powered by BTC, 422-GR96, says 422-4796. First question of the day. What does the W stand for in D.W. Davis?
I know that answer.
What does the W stand for? You can't answer this one, though. I have a different one for you. What does the W stand for in D.W. Davis? First question of the day. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Remember, when you call in to answer the trivia question, you have to give the producer your name, your number, your wallet provider, and your custom name.
You're going to ask him which island he comes from, too?
You know that one?
I know that, too, but just happenstance. But I know a lot of useless information.
This is not useless at all.
Nobody cares which island he comes from.
Yes, we should care. See, this is it. We should care what island he comes from. These questions today are all education theme. Since y'all think it's only little children, we send him back to school at the beginning of September. Mm-hmm. Everybody goes back to school. Why? Because the whole country has to shift into school mode. Again, the first question for the day, what does the W stand for in D.W. Davis, junior school, right? D.W. Davis, junior school. What does the W stand for? Dear Mr. Newry, I got a text. The plural form of sheep is sheep.
Yeah, that's what I said, sheep.
Only one sheep, two sheep.
Sheeps.
No, sheep.
Sheeps. See, language. See, and just recently I've learned this.
Yes. You know,
having that debate with
Dr. Bethel.
Dr. Bethel recently.
Yes.
Language changes. And if language can change, and if we can create our own language, and the Bahamas has an independent language called, what do you call it? The Creole.
Bahamas Standard English.
Yes. Then if that is such a thing, sheeps is a word.
Now listen, I agree with you. Ask any linguist and they'll tell you that ax was the accepted form, the actual form of what we now pronounce as ask.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be pronounced ax, right?
And so no question.
When you hear people saying that, and like me, you have a reflexive response to correct them because you've been to QC.
Mm-hmm. And you believe the queen and the king and the royal, and mind you, we speak better than them. By the way, in terms of conjugation and verb, noun, context.
Bahamians and Caribbean people generally handle standard British English better than many British people.
Yes. So, sheeps is a word. One sheep, two sheeps.
Listen, somebody say to ask you if you say sausage.
I say hot dog.
You hear that text? You see what he did to us?
Hot dog.
Or if you say sausages.
I actually say bologna. I grew up with the word bologna. The sausage thing is new. I always go, you have any bologna and grits?
What did you say, sir?
Bologna and grits.
I feel you.
Yeah.
I feel you.
Fried bologna.
Now,
steamed bologna.
I accept your position, sir. Without a doubt, I accept your position that language is fluid, language changes, and language and its use is also very political, right? It's very political. And so I can accept that there are spaces where sheeps,
shrimps. My stepfather says swims.
That's a different issue.
So I just say he says swims.
But I feel you, right? Because they swim. It's a great, the thing that they swim, that's what I want. Don't play with me, ma'am. You know what I want, right? My issue is whether we are required to formally recognize the shift in language, right? Are we required to formally recognize that we now accept both British English mm-hmm. and American English as well as, well, I want to say as well as Bahamian English. Mm-hmm. But what I mean is that we accept British English and American English over Bahamian English, right? We give it more value than our own. You know, while we do that, I want to say that I think it's important that we acknowledge what it is that we're doing. I internally, because of, I want to say, trauma for socialization, I have a visceral response when I hear alternate pronunciations of these words. Mm-hmm. I actually lost interest in a woman one time because she said shrimps. That's me. Dear Bahamas, I have a problem. Mm-hmm. It's not the woman. It's me. I got the problem.
She said shrimps and you said, nah, I ain't interested no more.
I'm telling, I mean, that's not how I said it, but yeah, something happened. The point is this, do we have to formally say, hey, now we accept shrimps as a plural for shrimp? Because I have a feeling that one of the reasons these kids are doing poorly in school is because nobody is actually, A, correcting them, B, making a distinction between Bahamian Common English, right? Bahamian Standard English, well, Bahamian Standard English, Bahamian Common English, British Standard English, and American Standard English, mm-hmm. right? And I'm thinking, I really wanted to speak to people who mark the papers, right?
Yes.
Is that a part of the issue? Are people failing, right? Being penalized because they're using a form of English that's not acceptable in the exam, but nobody actually told them, A, it's not acceptable mm-hmm. in the exam, and B, encourage them, compel them to ensure that they can speak both the English required for the exam and the English that's accepted commonly.
This is off the topic, but similar.
Yeah, yeah.
It's related. When I started typing, on a typewriter that had no letters on it. So I touch type. I don't have to see anything.
You memorize where the letters should be.
Well, my first exam, there's no letters on the keyboard. So the first exam was writing your name, and then you learn to memorize where every letter, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
What I've learned then was after each period is a double space.
Yeah.
Right? And now, in today's typing, there's no need for
the double
space.
Right, yeah.
And I'm saying that is because the system or the educated or the accepted form is changing.
Yeah.
And if the accepted form continues to change, like I took exams where I got marked off for spelling labor L-A-B-O-R.
Yeah.
Right, instead of L-A-B-O-U-R,
right?
And in that one essay, I spelled like four different ways, a British and an American way. I just spelled the words, how I learned the words. And then you ask, are we being penalized for what we thought is the correct term?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering now, especially for English, would an examiner who I assume would have learned a British standard, I don't know,
English,
right? Because we know most of our textbooks are American, right? And even though we have a British system, our textbooks are American.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering now, if you're writing an essay and you switching between both, are you penalized? And then you thought you wrote a 100% essay,
right,
and you end up with a 92.
Yes. Look here, producer, was that a light? Listen, if that was a light flashing, I apologize.
I
didn't see a light. Listen, this is an important conversation, you know. I want to keep it light, but it's about the culture of education and the culture of appreciation for education and whether we are penalizing students, right? Unfairly, unnecessarily. Are we laying the blame in the wrong places? I have a thing. They're students. They come to school to learn. So the premise is that they are stupid, right? They are ignorant. They've come to be filled with knowledge. In fact, they come for more than that. They come for you to teach them how to fill themselves with knowledge. Right? That's...
I'll ask you that. Our Bahamian Creole is spoken out of school, in school also.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm learning Bahamian Creole all day, and the subject agreement and the conjugation of the words.
Right.
And now I have an exam and I'm learning standard English as a second language. Mm-hmm. Surely I cannot write perfectly.
On the exam. Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if they take that in consideration.
Right.
Like for history, when you're writing the essay, do they mark for grammar or do they just mark for content? And should a history marker, what do you call a person who's marked?
That's invigilator, is the person who
watches over
the exam.
Whoever marks the exam.
Yeah.
Do they mark for grammar in religion studies? And they said, man, this person ain't writing in standard English at all. Or this person cannot spell. Do they take off 2 points and say, man, you can't get no A. This is a good paper, but I can't
right.
and all else.
Is the marking guide different? Like for English language, I expect you, it's the grammar, it's the syntax, it's everything you're looking at. But if it's a, like you say, a religion paper, and the student has proves that they have a grasp on the content,
mm-hmm.
but their grammar is horrible and their spelling is deplorable, right? My thing is, if you have a more than sound grasp on the content, but your spelling and grammar are bad, it means that you probably have an issue that we need to look at, right? Like whether you may be dyslexic and you've given up on trying to spell the words according to the British standard, but you're doing your best and you're doing very well because the teacher understands what you are conveying with your broken English, right? With your lapse grammar rules in your English. But more importantly, I got some stories here. You know, I like to reference some things that the policymakers are saying. But before I do that, let me throw out my question again. It is, in fact, I want to call it, it's academic, right? But I don't have a copyright. I don't have like legal permission to use that phrase. But it's education time, our Sand Dollar Trivia Giveaway questions for today. Listen, you can find all of the answers for today's questions by searching the Department of Archives. And if you haven't figured it out yet, we are talking about Bahamian educators. What does the W stand for in D.W. Davis Junior School? What is D. Davis's middle name? What does the W stand for? Numbers to call 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720, toll free for people outside of New Providence but still in the Bahamas. Text line powered by BTC 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Got a text here. Aaron, everyone is at fault with education, even students. I am shocked that the FNM would play this game when they know and keep saying how difficult COVID was. Aaron, we can't let people spell dying, D-Y-I-N-G, as dying, D-I-E-I-N-G, or lying, L-Y-I-N-G, as lying, L-I-E-I-N-G. No, no, it's die, D-I-E, then D-Y-I-N-G, lie, L-I-E, then L-Y-I-N-G. See, this particularly becomes an issue when you start to branch off into technical scientific fields where words have specific meanings, including their spellings, like trust and trust. It's very important to understand the difference. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Korean College and Aaron Bailey.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Aaron Bailey's been a new event, right?
No, he wore red. But I don't think he went to R.M. Bailey.
What school he went to? Private or local?
Government High.
Government High?
Yeah, man.
My old girlfriend was from Government High.
Good that you have girlfriends.
Huh?
Go ahead.
Good morning, Pumpkin Eater. How you doing?
Yeah, Louie. In the past, I had some beautiful ladies from Government High. But you're talking about AI and so on. It's an interesting topic.
I mean, I wasn't talking about...
No, but I mean, you mentioned in passing.
Yeah.
Anyway, but you know, globally, United States and other, they, I'm looking at how they can manage AI. Because I listened to the director of education this morning on Dry Show.
Mm-hmm.
She mentioned AI.
Mm-hmm.
So Congress is looking at managing AI.
Oh, yeah. Yesterday I asked Senator Pickstock in terms of a view of the new cabinet, are any ministries being resourced? Are they being enabled through the financial and technical resources to provide a framework for the operation of AI in the country, both legal?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, because of cheating.
Yeah.
That's the reason why they want to manage it. You could cheat and grade.
Oh, that's why the Ministry of Education.
Absolutely.
Ministry of Education certainly needs to be prepared for the use of AI. Alternate means, right? Because they want to encourage the use of AI in schools. They want to get.
And it's going to be in the curriculum, not only the curriculum for the public school.
But Pumpkinita, I got an issue. Let me ask you a question before I move on, right? Something arises with the introduction of AI to the curricula, right? One of the reasons I'm proud to be a Bahamian is because we have universal access to education. It took me a little longer to realize that while we have universal access to education, we don't have equitable access to education. So what arises for me and is very concerning, right, is whether we're going to create like an apartheid digital state where some students, because their parents can afford to send them to some schools, have a vast advantage, right, or head start on AI than others. And I'm very concerned about that.
Well, your concern is...
Because I would hate to think that we've created an environment where foreigners and their children, right, foreigners could provide a better education for their children than Bahamians can provide for their children in the Bahamas. Now, I know there's a whole bunch of people that say, Aaron, you're just a bigot because anybody...
No, you're right.
Anybody who could afford to go to the school could go to the school. But I don't even know how many schools they have in Albany.
Mm.
But Aaron, you might be being being sarcastic.
Yeah.
But there is a broad base of sit-down conversation with the public, private, and UB about AI.
Oh, yeah.
How it's going to dictate to our culture and all.
Absolutely.
Because I was in Jamaica, they have this thing called Jamaican dialect study in school.
Mm-hmm.
They have them in their school, Jamaican dialect.
Yeah, they
have laws. You need to invite Aline Ferguson.
To talk about her dictionary and
not only that, but talk about if we don't have a sensible curriculum, it's going to dictate to our culture and lose our culture of language, of dialect.
Yeah.
So
potential.
And you raised it, you knew you're raising it. There's a big, broad base, and it needs to be discussed because it needs to be number one.
Yeah.
Legislated and also regulated in our curriculum.
Absolutely, and we need to have an oversight committee whose job it is is to just think tank and ensure that we stay in front of the cutting edge of the technology, so that we're not creating reactive legislations and policies, but we are creating proactive legislation.
Well, yeah, legislation also to protect, because if I put music out there,
you can lose the music. They make it videos.
If I put writing stories out there, you could lose that too.
Absolutely, Pumpkin Eater. Thank you very much.
You raise that. The question is, how far would we go with it?
Yeah. Thank you, Pumpkin Eater.
All right.
But let's investigate or interrogate what you were saying. Who is to blame? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the easy answer, everybody is to blame. And I see you have that as an option. The entire Bahamas is to blame.
Yeah.
But let's start off with a five-year-old.
Yeah.
Right? The typical five-year-old Bahamian child or five-year-old Bahamian in waiting. I throw that in just to have the mix. Persons who have immigrant parents and they're first-generation Bahamians, starting off without a disadvantage, are now going through a typical school, not a private school. We're going to stick with the public school system. And can they be educated enough going to a public school system to end up to a university, in university? Is there enough instruction, books, the curriculum to do that? Okay. That's what I want to know.
So here's what we have. The question is whether we do have students who come from the most marginalized backgrounds, right? They come from, in some instances, abject poverty, and they are able to, through the public school system, educate themselves or be educated to the point where they can go off and get a degree. In fact, we've had a number of young men and women of Haitian descent, Bahamians in waiting, without the proper status needed to take their accomplishments and achievements in high school to the universities that have offered them scholarships. They've been stuck in the Bahamas. Some of them have been the best performing students in their years, in their schools, and across the country, and they haven't been able to get out of the country because they don't have any status. Those people exist. They may be outliers.
So let's talk statistics with that same point.
Yeah.
Should there be statistics to say that in that 500 plus persons who got C and above, mm-hmm. five C's and above for the recent BGCS examination, should there be included in that statistics how many persons are of Bahamian in waiting, how many persons are of middle class, how many persons are public school, that I can go and analyze it and say, okay, I see a problem or I see a trend. And this trend is saying that persons of immigrant descent are having issues with the English language or English BGCSE in literature. They cannot relate. Therefore, I can attack that a particular way. Or person from inner city living, mm-hmm. right, is having issues with math. Therefore, I can attack that a specific way. Persons who are more affluent is having issues with religious studies because they're more liberal and they might have issues with that. Is there any statistics that suggesting that way I can solve or target the problem?
I think there are statistics, right? I haven't seen them, but after reading this article from earlier in the year in August, it's in Nassau Tribune, August 4th, public school attendance is down 4 percentage points since last year. And in the article, Mrs. Russell, the acting education director, noted the importance of attendance officers, individuals tasked by the ministry to follow up and provide support for parents and students to ensure the students attend school regularly. She said through targeted walkabouts, the ministry has been able to determine those students who have been absent and assist them with getting back to school consistently, right? So that suggests to me that the what we used to call the truancy program has been expanded, right? They call them attendance officers, and they're not just going to find, okay, you didn't come to class, let me go find you and bring you to school. There's also another element where they speak with the parents, right? They do a holistic, I guess, assessment to determine what are the reasons why the child is not attending school and what type of support is needed to get the child back in school. So I think the statistics exist, and maybe they are post-COVID statistics. So we may have a year of statistics going into 2 years of statistics, but I think they do exist.
And then access to the statistics is the next thing.
Right.
But we know that during COVID, we had an all-time low in terms of attendance. We accepted that. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the percentage is, but I remember it being high. We assume that since the Progressive Liberal Party has become the government and the reopening of school and the announcement that we have a lot of kids who are missing, because remember we couldn't find where these kids were. So the minister at that time made an effort to make sure re-engage these students. Mm-hmm. So according to these statistics, they reach an all-time high, even though it's low, an all-time high based on how the drop. And since that all-time high, right, it went down again 4%. Yeah. That is concerning. Like, what would cause 4% of the student population to just stop after they were all out of school for 2 years just earlier? Like, what would cost that? And just saying that 4% is a number, is that good enough for the public without coming back to us and explain why?
And how the 4% is composed, right? Because if you tell me that the 4% are all senior students, right, 15 years and older, and maybe grade 11 and grade 12, then I may surmise that they dropped out because they are required to become income earners, right? That they had to go to work to support themselves and to support the family. That's what I would assume. If it's if they are students in primary school, then I'm beginning to assume that there is some sort of crisis in the family, right? And no one is able to or cares to or can ensure that the child goes to school every day. Maybe they can't afford the uniforms, right? Maybe they can't afford to feed the child sufficiently to go to school. This is what I'm thinking. But I say it's a positive thing to know that A, we do have attendance officers, and the scope of their work is far larger than it was in the past, and they're attempting to address the cause, right, as well as the symptom. I got a text here. But then let me just say quickly before we go to the text, to the audience, I mean, I know it's a pop quiz and it's education time, but these are things that we're supposed to know. And so again, I'm going to give you all another clue. If you search the Department of Archives, Bahamian Educators, all of the answers for these questions are right there. But let me throw out another question, Mr. Newry. Mm-hmm. What does the M stand for in R.M. Bailey?
I do not know that answer, but
Mr.
I know.
Mr. Historian?
But I know which island that person come from.
You know what island they come from?
I know that island. Now, mind you, I know the first name.
Well, tell me what island. You can tell me what island they come from.
I can tell you the island they come
from?
Yeah. R.M. Bailey came from Trinidad, I'm sure.
Yeah?
Because I always thought Bailey was a Jamaican name, but R.M. Bailey came from Trinidad. I'm almost certain to bet and put my hand on the chopping block R.M. Bailey is Trinidadian.
Well, when I saw what the middle name was, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I could believe you.
No, definitely in Bahamian. But I mean, the idea that
it's it ain't like an Ambrose. Yeah, when I hear Ambrose, I know this Bahamian.
Yeah?
Yeah. The old.
I know some.
He's a young person with an old people name.
I know some Ambrose who came from different islands.
You mean country islands or islands?
Other country islands, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Donald Davis, I know that he came from a different island too.
You mean like a different country island?
Yeah, Donald Davis came from a different country.
Which country did Don D.W. Davis come from?
Antigua.
Yeah?
Antigua. We had a lot of West Indians. Yeah. And West Indians influenced our educational system earlier.
So let's put that on the list. Is it the loss of West Indian educators that's at fault?
I know there were Bahamians. And when I say there are Bahamians, I'm thinking about people who born in the 80s, early 90s, who have children, who complain that their children cannot understand West Indian accent. Uh-huh. And they were frustrated with the West Indian teachers. And as we import West Indian teachers. But when I was in school in the 80s, I was used to West Indian teachers.
Yeah.
And then in the 70s, we had English teachers. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure now that how accent is a prohibitor or inhibitor. And there's using it as an excuse why my child cannot learn, mm-hmm. especially in this global education thing. And then I even, in the private school I attended, I remember being in a class where it had 40 students in there. Uh-huh. And in that 40 students in there, mind you, I didn't learn a thing, I was forced to study harder. And I've been to school where there were 300 students sitting down, and the lecturer does not know your name, nor care.
Yeah, they don't
to
care at all.
Your name. If you turn in your work or pay attention or walk in and walk out, it doesn't matter because you own your education and you're responsible for your education. And we need to now move our children to not give that excuse that there is too many students inside there. If you want to learn, sit in front. Sit in front. You discipline your child. Say, hey, what's happening around your environment is not an excuse. I'm sending you there to learn. And if you have issues, you come to me and I will help you with move through those issues.
Outside of bullying, right? Outside of...
So I just go to school and you call bullying and I come there with my gloves. I mean, go ahead. Stop. Go ahead. Sorry. I interrupt. I really need to fight. Child says she's getting bullied. Coming. I'm coming. Let's go fight.
And I think that's a. This is another big part of the conversation, right? The and so I say, are the schools and the administrators responsible? Are they ensuring, providing an environment, right, in which students can learn? One of the things that I find very troubling about this plantation model education is that teachers tell students who are being faced with violence, whether it's bullying, physical or verbal, right, whether it's harassment, that you must resolve that yourself. Like you all must figure that out yourself.
I appreciate that because I understand bullying and the fear of going to school. Because I remember, I grew up again in the early 90s where they had that large teenage gang problem.
Yeah.
Right? And I was terrified on trying to get to school passing East Street. So, man, I ain't going to school, man. I'm terrified. I'm not going to school today. I'm going to take a longer route.
Let me give you an example of how much we disregard students in the process of education. In the workplace for adults, right, the ILO, the International Labor Organization, they recognize your journey from home to work as a part of the workplace. And so they encourage in the enactment of policies to protect people, employers, right, workers, laborers, from they leave home on the journey to go to work that is considered the workplace. But for students, we rarely take into account the extreme issues and hazards they have to deal with just to get from home to school. And then when they get into the school campus, into the classroom, we also tell them or show them, because it would be decent of us to tell them, we let them figure it out on their own, that you are going to be faced with all forms of violence in the space and sometimes violence from the teacher. And you are expected to deal with it on your own.
Interesting.
And then we get mad at them when they turn to gang activity, gang violence as a response to what they're dealing with.
But forgive me for interrupting you.
Yeah.
Right? Because I need you to... are we going on a break?
Yeah, yeah. But tell me so I can prepare.
I need you to address parents and their responsibilities.
Yeah, let's
so
get
when we
that.
Come back on the other side, because...
Listen, whoever daddy tell the boy this morning he could try sell me a sack of Gannett for $75. I don't blame the young man. I blame his parents for allowing him to enter the world without enough preparation to navigate it safely.
Yes.
I with you.
Okay, so when you come
on the other side of the break,
I want you to address that.
Let's talk about the role that parents play in their child's education.
And the role as administrators and hash this out so we can make some conclusions.
Absolutely. You guys, you're on the clock, Guardian Radio, AM, Man Down, Mashup Wednesday. We're talking education. I got a whole bunch of questions, but you all ain't trying to answer. I see why the children are not doing well. I kid. That was a joke. I'm not throwing shade. But we got some good questions about who we are in the Bahamas. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Get ready, Bahamas. The Nations League is upon us. This Saturday, September 9th at 6 p.m., our men's national team, the Junkanoo Boys, go head-to-head with Puerto Rico at the Thomas A. Robinson Stadium. Dive into the electric matchday vibes. Secure your spot now. VIP tickets at $35 and drinks, finger foods, premium seating, and exclusive benefits. Adults for $20 and children under 13 at just $10. Purchase tickets online at bahamasfa.net or in person at the NSA box office. Rally behind the Junkanoo Boys and don't miss out on this soccer spectacle.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good Good morning and welcome back to the On The Clock Guardian Radio AM Wednesday Man Down Mashup Show, where we combine shows to talk about important issues in the country. And today we are talking education. We are going to Mr. Nuri in a moment get to the parents. We're going to talk about the role of parents and guardians in this process of education. Again, we've thrown out a second question for the day. What does the M stand for in R.M. Bailey? What does the M stand for in R.M. Bailey?
The good thing is when you Google, these things come right up.
Yeah.
And there is a website on Bohemian principals and the Bohemian schools.
Bohemian educators,
yeah.
The Department of Archives,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So this is not a Wikipedia question. It's not a Google question. It's a question from your own sources. And I think these questions are important because while we talk about education, we also have to talk about maintaining and sustaining a culture of appreciation for education. And it's not just about you, the student, appreciating the education that you're getting in the moment. It's about you, the adult, appreciating the education that you got in the past so that you are able to create the same environment and opportunity for your children and other children around you. I tell people all the time, Nuri, I'm an amalgamation of coincidences, right? There is no playbook. I was just fortunate enough to have a whole bunch of different types of experiences, right, that enabled me or that helped me to learn how to learn and how to teach myself things and how to discern from what it is I am observing around me. And we owe other young people that. And I think, you know, when we speak in specifically to parents, I got to correct, somebody texted in a correct answer, Mr. Nuri. I'm not sure if they have won the trivia question before, though. If you are a previous winner, please indicate via text. Again, what does the M stand for in R.M. Bailey? You can Google it. I say Google Department of Archives and Bohemian Educators. They are all there. No, you got it. I just need to know whether you won before text, so I could put you on the list. Here's a text. I think if you look at the family structure today, a lot of the kids' parents were teens when they had them, and the parents are just learning about life themselves, so they have no time for their kids. So I think this is a part of the problem. I think we're on to something.
So my response with that is, what do we do? If we have teenagers growing up, children, mm-hmm. right, or young adults, say 20, growing up children, and they are busy living their life in terms of going out clubbing and trying to find out and trying to secure a job, not making adequate money because they didn't go to school, right? Didn't get a trade.
They didn't finish the diploma or get a trade, yeah.
What do we do now to help them and to help that child?
First of all, I'm impressed by your desire to find solutions when I just want to throw blame. I'm impressed by that, right?
Throw blame.
I think Jeffrey Lloyd had a great idea. I mean, it comes out of the Catholic experience. It comes out of traditional education experiences, but a residential schools, boarding style schools, right? Where students who are in homes with less support, right, and less resources, become a part of a residential educational space. So you got two options, where you are there all week and then you go home on the weekend, or you're there for the whole school term and parents come and visit students at appropriate times.
I like that, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how we'll finance that, but I'm sure if we declare that's what we want, the money will come.
Right.
It would automatically, it don't have to be a big school.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be the state-of-the-art school, but the atmosphere and the discipline from
now,
that.
There are some models, very small models, right, where parents and the students are both in a residential learning space, right?
Mm-hmm.
They take some classes together. They take classes separately, right? Some parents come and live on the campus for a short time. So it'd be more like a summer school than a, this portion would be more like summer school than year round.
I like it.
And because there's two things operating here. We acknowledge that the parents are not necessarily or inherently bad. They're just under-resourced, mm-hmm. right? Because they didn't finish school. They didn't do well. And now you're expecting them to support their kids with this work that they can't do. Mm-hmm. The next thing is that children need to be with their parents. There's a fundamental principle that children do better when they're with their parents. Children, especially children, okay, when once parents are not actively abusing the children, right? They're not selling them or prostituting them. They're not making the children go buy the drugs and buy the alcohol for them. Children want to be with their parents, and they do best when they're with their parents. So if we can have programming that does not criminalize parents and does not separate permanently or for a long time children and parents, that's a part of it as well.
Off to our question again.
Yeah.
We got the results of the BGCSE.
Mm-hmm.
We've been getting results from the BGCSE for decades. We are familiar with the results. We know generally what the results is going to be. Sometimes it will be slightly higher, sometimes slightly lower, but basically the mean is the same,
mm-hmm.
right? We identify that there is a problem,
mm-hmm.
right? But in your history of getting the results, have they indicated and identify this is the problem and we will be targeting and focusing on that issue so it don't happen again for the next term? Have you seen that, heard that, or felt that in terms of how we approach
I think I've seen it.
Give me an example.
No, I mean, like the rhetoric, like just now in exams draw public school attendance, these guys are identifying issues, right? And they say, oh, we're working for it.
But surely it's not public school attendance. I'm not attendance's issue, because the people coming to school and still getting the grade. So the attendance is just for those people who are not coming to school. I'm talking about bros who are there and having issues. How do we help those people who say, man, I come to school, right? But this English thing ain't me. This math thing in me, this religious thing in me, this art. You know, they have 12 different art classes. None of this art thing is me. How is it that, oh, mind you, let me say this before I let you speak, right? Forgive me for this.
Yeah.
I came across a student who had 5 BGCSEs.
Yeah.
And I said, man, you're brilliant. This was during that tutoring thing, right? Mm-hmm. You're brilliant. And I said, what's your grade? He said, well, I didn't get math. I didn't get English. I said, that happens, right?
Yeah.
You always go to college prep for that. But they got 5 different art classes.
Yeah.
Right? And I said, man, I look like you need to go do art.
All right, yeah.
But my thing is, despite the 5 different art classes, we have students who can't even get one of the 5 all different art classes.
So we have some fundamental issues going on here. And I think Candia Dames covered the ministry's response to many of these issues in an article last week or the week before, when they said they have hired more special needs teachers, they've hired more resource officers, right? So they are enhancing the technical human resources, right, that are available to the students that need them. I think we got a couple of things going on here, Nuri. Like the student that passed nothing but art, right? That student needs an assessment. It could be that the child is dyslexic, right? It could be that the child has experienced some type of severe trauma and had given up on learning to read and write and pass these exams, but knows that they have to figure it out, right? And so they've developed their own systems to get past not being able to read, to mimic, to listen to other people speak, you know, and look at what they're looking at. We have students with not just psychological needs, but we have students that may have developmental setbacks and delays, right? Are students being tested for autism? Are they being tested for other intellectual disabilities, right? Sometimes if we don't see the outward obvious sign of a disability, we don't take it into account. We just say, oh, you're not trying hard enough. But some students could have mild forms of intellectual disabilities that impede them, not because the thing is severe, but because nobody has tended to the issue and the child, it's been exasperated through a lack of attention. And I want to say this with all sincerity and all seriousness. I wonder the extent to which we have examined how many of our young people are born with what they call fetal alcohol syndrome and fetal cocaine syndrome, and their development has been severely impacted by those conditions at birth, and how many... And that in and of itself is not the barrier, but it not being diagnosed, it not being attended to, students not being supported, knowing that they have these setbacks, that leaves a child in a horrible place. Because they can with the right support, but because they haven't been given the right support for so many years, that you could imagine that you could be socially promoted straight out of primary school into junior school without anybody actually identifying that you have a learning disability. And all it would have taken is 2 summers of intensive attention to get you back on track so that with minimal support, you could make it through junior school. I think there's a dereliction of duty, and because we love to revel in this idea that we are part of the world. I'm a professional. I'm world class. I could go anywhere and teach. But are you ensuring that your students locally have access to the same support mechanisms? And not even support mechanisms. These are just basic assessments. Right, and I think a lot of students are suffering because their quote-unquote conditions have not been properly diagnosed.
We need to continue this conversation. I see it's 11:03, want us to hash it out. First, we identify that the parents has a duty of care to their children. We also identify that economics and the quality of life is important in order for education to continue. Now you mentioned the derelict of duty. How can social promotion continue, especially from a primary school to a junior high school, that we are now setting up some children to failure because you promoted them into a system where they don't even have the basics to continue.
Mm-hmm.
So we have identified 3 different issues that we need to address as a people, right?
Mm-hmm.
The socioeconomic background, there's the living conditions, the parent commitment to it, and now the government's commitment or betrayal to these students. But go ahead.
Are students experiencing as much violence in schools as they're experiencing outside of schools, right? And what we could do to improve that. But like you say, we got to go to the break. It's the news hour. When we come back from the break, we're going to continue the Man Down Mashup Wednesday show. Mr. Nuri, maybe if I could beg you, I got 1 text winner. I'm hoping that they're not a previous winner. Last 4 digits 9629. I'll call you after the show to arrange transfer of your funds, and I'm going to continue.
Could you say who D.W. Davis?
No, I never actually said, because I wanted to keep it alive.
Okay.
But I will, we can close that one out. So the W in D.W. Davis stands for Webster.
Yes.
Like the dictionary.
Like the dictionary.
Educators.
Or the short guy in that TV show back in the day.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Mr. Drummond. Producer?
No, that was Arnold.
That's not the point.
Yeah, 2 different movies, though. 2 different shows, 2 different series.
Was he in them?
Webster's Webster.
But wasn't he in both?
No, that's 2 different dwarfs. Short people. Little people. Short. Anyway, we'll be right back.
Oh, yeah. That was no intention. There was not an intention to insult right there. I thought you was talking about me for a second. That's why I look at you like that. We'll be right back. Thank you, producer. Play the music, please. Take us to a break.